My name is Bob Piantanita, and I'm an elder in training here at Living Axe. If you've been here before, you know I'm not Brandon. anyway, this is my first time to ever preach, so I'm a little nervous, and I have some notes, and I may stray from them. I've been known to ramble. I hope I don't do that this morning. And anyway, here we go. The passage I want to direct you to this morning is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'll give you a moment there to find that passage. And if you don't have a Bible, we have some placed over here on the windowsills. Feel free to take one, and if you don't own one, you can take it home with you. It's our gift to you. Okay, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I want to talk this morning of the Father's love for you, and want it to be particular. There seems to be some ambiguity in some believers of the root cause of God's love for them. We could basically sum this up in two questions, and I'll give those to you right now. A, does God love me because I'm in Christ? Or B, does God love me and then place me in Christ? Okay? I'll give it to you again. Does God love me, A, does God love me because I'm in Christ, or B, does God love me and then place me in Christ? Is love the cause of him moving towards us, or is Christ's righteousness the cause? Okay? I want to share a couple illustrations with you this morning, and I tend to think visually, and so this is where I can get off. So, I don't know how many of y'all have ever been to Canton. Canton is the mother of all garage sales. And if you've never been there, if you're visiting in Tyler, you've got to go to Canton. It's First Monday Trades Day, they call it. And it happens on the first weekend of the month. And I want to picture or give you a scene to picture in your mind that you're in Canton, you're kind of browsing around. And there's a place in Canton, which is probably the majority of it, called the Commons. And it's the place which is the cheapest to rent, by the way, if you're gonna sell junk. You have to bring your own shelter, you gotta provide your own tent and everything like that, and you kind of stake off your spot and you set your stuff up there. And there's other places that are air conditioned, some places have pavilions and whatnot. But anyway, so you're in the Commons. And you're noticing a guy who is kind of going through his booth, and yeah, even junk people have junk. And so there, he's going through his booth, and he's sort of put some stuff off to the side that's really on its way to the dumpster. And so part of that stuff that he's taken away, within that little group of stuff, there's a chair that's broken, and it's just ugly, okay? The paint and everything else on it, it's just, he hadn't sold it, nobody wants it. And so it's on the way to the dumpster. And out of nowhere, seemingly, there's a guy who walks up, and his eyes are sort of fixed on this chair. And what's strange about him is he doesn't look like he belongs there. This guy is dressed wealthy, young, handsome. You could just tell that he's a man of wealth. And he even smells good. And it's not the cologne you can buy at Dillard's. It's just different. I mean, this guy, there's just something about him. And so he's kind of out of place. But he locks on to this chair, and then he walks up to it, and the vendor's there just kind of, you know, throwing his stuff. And the vendor kind of notices this guy, and the rich man just takes his wallet out and begins to open it up and pull out 20s, 50s, 100s, and the guy was about to say, that's garbage, but he keeps his mouth shut at this point. And he's watching this guy pull out cash, and finally he empties his wallet. And then the guy has a Rolex watch, and he slides it off, and he places it on the table. And by now the guy is thinking, this man is crazy. Something odd about this. And then the guy takes his iPhone out. Now, I don't have an iPhone, so you guys that are savvy with that electronic stuff will probably tell me this would never fly, but for this illustration, it has to fly, okay? So let's say he pulls his iPhone out, and he starts to go through it, and as he's going through his iPhone, he's pulling up assets that he has. You know, he's got oil refineries in the Middle East. He's got a chateau in Switzerland. And somehow, in the modern world here, he's actually dumping and able to pay this man for this chair. And he's just divesting himself of his net worth. And then he pulls his shirt off, pulls his Gucci shoes off, and it's everything. So he's left there nothing but a T-shirt, his pants, and barefoot. And he walks off with his chair. Of course, by the time he gets to that point, there's this crowd around that's wondering what, and they're marveling at what's going on here. Is this guy crazy? What? And of course, the vendor, you know, he's hit it. But anyway, that's the first illustration, and the point of that is that the chair was purchased at great cost. The second illustration that I want you to picture in your mind is of an ice cube placed out on the highway, out on the street here in July, just before the sun, okay? And we all know what would happen if you placed an ice cube out on the hot pavement in the sun in July. Now, once you do, as you're visualizing this, it's not that the sun is being mean to the ice cube, that the ice cube is beginning to evaporate in its presence. It's just melting. It's just physics. It just happens. And there's nothing the ice cube can do. But before the sun, this is what happens. And so now, think for a moment, if the sun wanted to have a relationship with the ice cube, one of them would have to change. You know, there's no hugging there. It's an impossibility. And so you have the sun, you have the ice cube, and the two of them can't coexist. And like I said, the ice cube is powerless to change itself, but it needs to be changed in order to be with the sun. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that'll be up on the screen. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, let's go back for a minute to those first two questions about the cause of God's love for us. I'll give them to you again. Does God love me because I'm in Christ? Or does God love me and then place me in Christ? If God loves me because I'm in Christ, he really doesn't love me. He loves Christ. I've heard it said that if oftentimes you hear a guy's sermon, you're actually hearing him preach to himself. you're hearing something he's worked through. And so here we go. That's the explanation for this here, as in my study. So if God loves me because I'm in Christ, he really doesn't love me, he loves Christ. But if he loves me and then places me in Christ, it must be for some purpose consistent with his love for me. Okay? Now, we're going to go back to Ephesians 2 again and just sort of peruse through that. I'm going to look at a few verses at application. Verses 1 through 3. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our flesh," which I'm going a little beyond there, "in our mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So we see that he wasn't moved towards us because of any beauty or good in us, is what's laid out there in that first part of Ephesians 2. It wasn't any beauty or comeliness that he desired us. But now, as we move to verse 4 through 5, we see his motive. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ." Those verses say that it was his mercy and love for us that moved him. Okay? It was his mercy and grace that moved him to want to be with us. And his work of redemption in Christ sealed for us this gracious permanence in his presence. Some time ago, I was reading through Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. And it just occurred to me as I was reading it that what Jesus yearned and prayed for, I mean, he almost agonized over this in that prayer, we find accomplished for us in the early chapters of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3. I'll just read a little bit of Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's in John 17, 22 through 26. And it's like you're getting an ear into a very, very private and tender conversation that Jesus is having with the Father. You're listening in on him praying. That's what this is. Verse 22. "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." If you haven't done it before, you might want to take that chapter of Jesus' prayer and look at Ephesians, the first few chapters of Ephesians. It's like the truck backs up and you just hear this beep, 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 and dumps these, and it's described as riches in Ephesians, and this incredible wealth and blessing that's dumped on us in Christ. And the amazing thing is, it's not tangible stuff. It's Jesus. It's the person of Jesus. He gives us himself. It's in him. He is it. When Jesus was on the cross, agonizing, and went to the cross, he went to the cross for all this reason. When he cried out, "It is finished," the ice cube was changed so that it could be with the Son. And that was it. That's my message. Let's pray. As I'm praying, the worship leaders come up and play for us and close us out. Father, we thank you that we can call you Father. But oh, what great cost. Father, we thank you that Jesus is our sure and steadfast hope, that we have assurance, great assurance in him. We thank that you have decked us with such beauty in him. You've given us his righteousness. You have changed us. We could not change ourselves. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here this morning that finds themselves still in the condition of the ice cube, they've never come to you in Christ. They've never recognized that the way has been made for them, and it is the only way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Father, we thank you that in Jesus you are both just and the justifier of those who believe in him. And Father, we thank you that both righteousness and peace kiss one another in Jesus, that in him we have received both. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the incredible gift that you've given us in him. I pray for each one here, Father, that if they're a child of God, they know you, and this thing has been foggy in their mind, that you would make it clear that you love them. You don't just tolerate them. You love them, and you want to be with them, and you secured that for them in Christ. If you're here today and you do want to talk with somebody, feel free to seek someone out to visit with. We'd love to pray with you. Some of us are wearing tags. But resolve this thing today. There's only one way, and Jesus has secured it for us. Amen.